Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, yesterday, former FBI Director James Comey managed to call President Trump a liar. He confirmed, though, that the president had never been under investigation for any alleged Russian connection. But then he ended up going away by suggesting that he might now be under some investigation. Director Comey affirmed that he had actually been the source of leaks to the New York Times with his private notes of meetings with the president, but he did so only after the president tweeted about him, only later to find out and have confirmed that Comey lied about the timing, since he actually had leaked the contents of the notes to the New York Times, who printed some of it prior to the president's tweet. So, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, the U.S. market goes up. Yesterday, it goes up now. While in Europe, the British pound goes down, along with Prime Minister Theresa May's effort to gain a larger majority. And that is rattling the European market as we speak. Then on top of that, we have now found, as of yesterday, that the U.S. net worth climbed $1.3 trillion in the first quarter. But Bill Gross, manager of a large global bond fund, says that the market is overbought. So effectively, watch out. Today, we're going to examine the Comey contortions from yesterday in the Congressional Dog and Pony Show and any impact this might have economically. We're going to examine the cause and the impact of the reported $1.3 trillion in personal U.S. net worth. And we'll also consider the warnings of certain economists like Bill Gross and Jim Rogers and others who say the market is way overbought. Then in segment four, we're going to introduce a new segment entitled APN's Good News segment, where I'm going to interview Dr. Pastor Joe Green and let you hear from him why he's in the pastorate when he was a businessman and what APN means to him. With that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Financial Focus Friday. We're going to term it today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined by special guest Dan Celia. He is the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries and also host of his own radio show entitled Financial Issues. With that, I welcome you, Dan Celia, to the program.
Sam, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, Dan, you've just come off of 3 hours of your own program, so we got you in a roll. I want to talk to you now as we go through a number of things here as it relates to the economy, because that's really your area of focus, and you deal with biblical stewardship, of which we are very concerned as the American Pastors Network also, because we understand that all we have as Christian people comes from God, so that we need to be astute and tie and tuned into what's happening. But the markets are affected, obviously, by a lot of things that come out of Washington. Yesterday, I'm sure you watched or reviewed some of the testimony by former FBI Director James Comey. And I don't know about you, but my own sense was there were an awful lot of Comey contortions in that hearing. From your view, as you look at it, how did you perceive Comey's comments? And do you think that his comments ultimately help President Trump and his economic goals, or do you think that it harms it in some way? What are your thoughts?
Well, I want to believe that it helped President Trump's agenda. I think it has, and I can't say that it has directly to President Trump. I think the impact that I'm hoping for is that it might have a greater impact on Capitol Hill, in a sense that maybe, and I say this without a whole lot of confidence, but maybe it's going to begin to free up the legislative process that we desperately need in Washington. One thing that we know for certain is that the legislative body in Washington is very good at doing nothing. They've proven that to us over the last 10 years, and they've gotten a little better at it. And they're working about 35 days between now and September 30th, and we have got to see something happen that is going to, in some way, shape, or form, incentivize the Republican Party to unite around this agenda. I'm hoping that this might help that a little bit. I'm not real confident. I'm hoping that it's going to help. Overall, I think it was good for President Trump. I think it was good for President Trump. I think I think it exposed some of the truth, as it exposed some of some lies, apparently, from Cohen.
Well, I do too, Dan. I'd agree with you on that overall, although I think this thing is has yet to fully unwind, because the president now, and some headlines are coming back, he's declared war on Comey. I mean, there's a deep state issue here to try to take down this administration. Let's go a little bit more economic directly. I have an agreement with you. The congressional body is very good at dragging out things, blaming everything on someone else, and never getting anything done. The president is seeking to inject some substantive policy changes that will affect the economy. Tax cuts, for instance, are an example of that. Repealing and making changes to Obamacare is a part of it. He's talked about putting additional vast sums into the economy for infrastructure build-out plans. But you're correct. 35 days left in this congressional setting are very few. How important do you think these elements are? For instance, Obamacare, which has really not gotten off the ground, the reform effort, the tax cuts, they haven't really gotten off the ground either, and the infrastructure at this point is changes are just a dream. Yeah. What about these things?
Well, I was almost disappointed in President Trump this morning as I didn't see. I didn't hear, but I saw him speaking. I was on the air. I saw him speaking on infrastructure. And, you know, I said to my listeners at the time, I said, you know, I almost hate to see this. It's great. We need infrastructure. I'm all for infrastructure. It's going to be a huge shot in the arm of the economy. It's going to be good for the economy. It's going to be good for jobs, so on and so forth. And we need it. But ultimately, Sam, the key is going to be tax reform. We have got to have tax reform. And I wish, and I said this on the air, I wish that instead of being at that podium talking about infrastructure, that he was in the halls of Congress doing everything he possibly can to unite the party around his agenda. He needs to go to work doing that in dramatic fashion because, listen, the economy is based right now, is hinged on the fact that we could get tax reform soon. I don't think we can. I don't think we're going to see it. I'm very disappointed. But I don't think we're going to see it be approved this year for this year.
All right. Well, Dan Celia, he is the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. My guest on this program today, we're talking about economic issues. And we're going to go into the whole announcement that the U.S. net worth has shot up to a record. Actually, a record amount by $1.3 trillion. But when Dan comes back, when we come back, I'm going to ask him what the economic impact may be alone from the pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement and what that may mean, tax reform or not. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm sitting here right now looking at the beautiful, full-color Founders Bible. In addition to the trustworthy New American Standard text, it contains original historical artwork, as well as 64 full-color insert pages, 150 biographies or insightful quotes from the founders, and 450 pages of embedded commentary highlighting biblical insights. This beautiful leather-bound volume produced by historian David Barton has a gold-embossed APN logo on the front. It can be yours this month as you support APN with a gift of $250 or more. To see it and make your gift, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. If you can't send $250 right now, we'd still like to hear from you. In gratitude for a gift of any amount, we'll send you a wonderful audio CD by Sam Rohr entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. It will bless and challenge you. Let us hear from you today. Remember, all gifts to APN are tax deductible. Thank you, and God bless you.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
If you're just joining Stand in the Gap Today, we want to welcome you to the program. And on this program today, we're focusing more on economic issues, how things in Washington are affecting the economy, and trying to bring a little bit of sense to nonsense, really, with a lot of what's happening. And to help us do that, I have Dan Celia as special guest today. He is the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. His website is financialissues.org, and he also has his own radio program entitled Financial Issues. Dan, before we get into this segment here, I want to look at the disclosure yesterday that U.S. net worth is up $1.3 trillion. We were looking at some of the issues happening in Washington that may affect economic development in this country. And we talked a bit about infrastructure, which is the change with the president's talking about, a little bit more of a dream. It's a vision at this point. Nothing's actually happening. Tax reform, which you said is critically important, which Congress is dragging their feet on and may not happen. As you said, though, it really has to happen. Obamacare is getting drugged down by this Congress, and that is critical. But then there's one other major issue that happened just not long ago, where the president chose to pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Accord. That was well received by American business. I'm asking you, and I wonder, will the effect of just pulling us out of the United States out of that terrible agreement, in my opinion, can that alone perhaps be a stimulus that has an effect on the economy that does not depend on Congress?
Well, it certainly will be a stimulus to the economy, and it doesn't impact, it's got nothing to do with Congress. There was already a sense of enthusiasm coming out of corporate America in reference to that. That was very, very positive. So if you combine that along with regulatory burden that has been lowered, you know, they're still feeling pretty good, hence the reason why we're still seeing the markets go up. So it certainly wasn't a big thing. I mean, a negative thing. It is going to help. I don't think it is. Remember, it is still going to be dependent upon tax reform, because even though it is good for corporate America, and it is, it's good for corporate America, but corporate America has to still be willing to dive in to expansion and growth and hiring, and the thing that's going to incentivize them to do that is going to be tax reform above all else.
All right, well, that's important to state, Dan. And again, we're back, ladies and gentlemen, to the importance of policy changes. It affects us all, and why it's so critically important to have people in office who understand biblical principles of a free enterprise economy and the role of government. And that's really what, Dan, you're talking about. Now, let's go here into this next issue. Yesterday, it was released that U.S. net worth is up $1.3 trillion. Real estate values up $500 billion. And all of this is in the context of the stock market continuing to go up. You were commenting about the impact of Comey's contortions yesterday in D.C., but yet today, as this program is going on, the market is up into record territory again. Let me ask you this. Last time you were on, you said that fundamentally you don't believe that governmental economic numbers are faulty necessarily. You made that provision, but you said the interpretation of them can go all over the place. So I'll go back here with you. That statement of $1.3 trillion of increased net worth, is that true? And if that is true, where was that wealth created? Is it real wealth?
Well, we've got to understand that the vast majority of the wealth in this nation is in 401ks and IRAs. So, and the majority of that wealth is held by baby boomers. So when you look at a situation where you've got this huge amount of wealth in the market, and the market continues to rise to record highs. So market capitalization, the size of the market in general, has grown dramatically since November. And a rising tide like that brings up almost all boats. So you've got the majority of household wealth in markets because the majority of that is in 401ks and IRAs. So, of course, so I think as the number of $1.3 trillion, is that an accurate number? Yes, that is an accurate number. That is the capitalization increase of the market in general, and the equation is how that's impacted IRAs, 401ks, and some investment accounts as well that has been impacted on a positive side because of the market.
Well, Dan, then that probably then is why the numbers also say that the stock market itself is up about $1.3 trillion. So really, what you're saying is that that increase in net wealth is primarily, if not almost exclusively, because the market has gone up. And what you're saying is that because the majority of wealth is held in 401ks, retirement plans, and they're held by baby boomers, it lifts everybody's net worth. That's basically what you're saying, correct?
That's what I'm saying, and that's exactly okay. The case. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing.
Okay, now, when one of the things I want to ask you to interpret here, in this same report that I was looking at, it took this total net worth, which they now says is in record territory, $94.8 trillion of household wealth in the United States is an all-time high. They say that there are about 126 million households. They take and they break that out and say, therefore, that the average household is worth $750,000. Now, you've answered some of this question, but the average person listening to this program would say, my net worth isn't even close to $750,000. And right. If it has gone up, I don't have any more money in my pocket, and I don't have any more money to spend than I did before, so they may be led to believe that these are bogus numbers. So make some sense out of the way these things are applied, which makes it look like everybody's got a household worth $750,000. But in reality, the people listening, they know that's not the case. So put that in perspective, if you could.
So it's just simple math. So even though and I think you've kind of outlined it in explaining how they come up with the equation there. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, you've got some households that are up $100 million. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. So you've got some of these households that are up $100 million, and, you know, that's not the norm. You know, so you've got the half of 1% of the population that you're using that is probably, that is bringing up the average dramatically. If you took out those folks that make over $500,000 a year in their household, then the number would change as far as the amount, but that from a percentage perspective, it wouldn't change all that much, because even, you know, the household might not be $750,000, but from a percentage perspective, if you average that percentage out, assuming that that, you know, there's a lot of households that have 401ks and IRAs and investments and are participating in the markets, then you're going to see the percentage being fairly accurate.
Okay, I think that helps a lot, at least helps me, and I think the average person listening, they can clue in on that a little bit, and it helps. Now, let me move to the next step. If indeed household wealth has increased by $1.3 trillion in the last quarter, but as you say, it's more in the investments in the market, whereas they have not seen their own personal bank account gone up, there's no more in their checking account, they don't have any more to spend now than they did at the end of last year, it would then make a logical conclusion that this is what's referred to as paper wealth. It's increased on paper. And if that is the case, if it's increased on paper because of investment value over the last 3 months, is it not just as likely or easily that that paper wealth increase could disappear about as quickly as it came?
Well, it will. But here's the thing. So this happened in the 1970s, early 1970s, that we saw record numbers. It happened again late 70s, early 80s, where it dipped. We see it happen in the 90s. We saw it happen in the dot-com boom. We saw it happen in 2003 or 4, whatever it was, somewhere in that neighborhood. We saw it happen again as recently as 2013. I remember that very well. So it happened again in 2013. So we continue to see that happen. But here's the thing. The bottom now of the market is far higher than the bottom was in 1972, and is even higher than it was in 2013. So,
all right.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to interrupt here. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr, my special guest, Dan Celia of Financial Stewardship Issues or Issue Stewardship Ministries. When we come back, we're going to talk about, well, the market is up really high. Well, do you buy into it now? Do you wait? Some are saying it's too high. It can't stay that high. We're going to talk about how you should respond to where we are and where we may be going.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is our Economic or Financial Friday emphasis. And to help us walk through the economic impacts of what's happening from a standpoint of public policy changes in Washington to world events, I've asked to join us Dan Celia. He is the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries. And the website, if you want to go there, is financialissues.org. He also is the host of his own radio program devoted to these issues called Financial Issues. And for those of you who just might be tuning in to this program, on Stand in the Gap today, we cover the range of issues. Anything that's in the news of a paramount fashion, we address it on this program, but we do it from a biblical and constitutional perspective. A biblical worldview applied to it. And I know I hear from a lot of you who are listening who are saying you are appreciating so much the ability to be able to have news that you can trust with a perspective that is both biblical and constitutional, so we know how to think about it. And that's really what we're doing every day and what we're doing here as well. If I could, let me ask all of you who are listening, if you have not downloaded our new free app, please pick up your iPhone, your Android, go to your app store, put in Stand in the Gap or American Pastors Network, download the app for free. We will then announce it mid-morning before the program, the theme of the program and the guest that we will have, and then we'll do some other things that you can communicate back and forth to us. You can also partner with us financially easily off of your app, and we encourage you to do that because this is a ministry here at the American Pastors Network, Stand in the Gap today, a program of it. Now, with that being the case, let me go right back to Dan Celia. Dan, we left the last segment by saying the market is up really, really high. The Eurozone has been doing very, very well up until this whole thing with Theresa May and the UK election yesterday. Now there's some problems developing there, perhaps. But there are some key recognized U.S. economists, Bill Gross, guys like Jim Rogers and others. Some of them, you know, raise red flags often, we know. Yet both of them yesterday have made a point of saying, wait a minute, as Bill Gross said, quote, U.S. markets are at their highest levels. Highest risk levels since before 2008 financial crisis, because investors are paying a high price for the chances they're taking, end quote. And he's basically saying, watch out what you're doing because the market cannot sustain itself. Dan, there are people listening who have their efforts in the market. A lot of them lost things in 2008. When they hear these kinds of things, how should they respond to this in light of the fact that the market is already higher than most people said would ever go?
Well, I think it depends, Sam, on their time frame. You know, I think, here's what I think. You know, if you say, first of all, if you say something long enough, it'll eventually come true. And that is not more true than in the economic world. And, you know, I could say anything about the market, and if I keep saying it, eventually I'm going to be right about it, because the market is very volatile and always has been, always will be. But I'll say this. I believe even at these record highs that it is very unlikely that if you put money into the market today, that 15 years from now you're not going to be up. You're probably going to be higher than you are today. If you are going to put it in these levels and expect to make some money in the next couple of years or a couple of months, you're foolish. It's never going to happen. So it really depends on your outlook. So when I do analytical work as an economist, I'm always doing analytical work constantly every day. I'm looking at all of the data that is coming out, and I'm using some other data points. But is this an all-time high? Of course it is. But if you have a short-term time horizon, you shouldn't be in the market at all. And you cannot be in a place where you're buying on good news and selling on bad news. And right now, there's a lot of people buying on good news. The good news is the market is up. And you've got to be very cautious, not the time to buy. Are there things that are still of good value here? Yes. We have actually seen valuations of stocks come down in the last 3 months. So, well, how's that happening? Because there hasn't been a correction. The market is self-correcting to a certain extent. And let me tell you what I mean by that. It sounds a little confusing. It isn't. So when markets get highly valued, like they are right now, eventually something has to give and there's got to be a correction. And there always has been corrections in the past, and there always will be, to bring cost evaluations of stocks in line. That has to happen. But there's also the possibility in the environment that we're in today that, let me give you an example, and I keep coming back to this. If we have tax reform, it is estimated by most think tanks, conservative think tanks, I'll say, or nonpartisan think tanks, that if the corporate tax rate gets reduced, that alone is going to add about 2 to 2.5 points to earnings of companies. So earnings of companies are going to come up based on tax reform. So if earnings come up, then the ratio of that to the net worth of companies comes down, and we've had a correction in valuations, and the market didn't come down. So we've already seen that happen because we had such an incredible earnings season this last quarter of earnings season. We saw earnings go up dramatically. Can you imagine if we would have had tax reform 2 months ago, what that would have looked like? And so we've had some correction coming in to the market. Now, am I saying we're not going to have a downturn? A correction is 20%. From our highs. So I don't see a 20% downturn, at least one that is sustainable. But here's what I would say. If we do have a downturn like that in the markets, I am not concerned in the environment that we're in today from a political standpoint as I would have been 2 years. 2 years ago. 2 years ago, I would have been saying, which I did say, if we have a correction in the market, a severe correction, we're going right to a depression. Because we have a totally, and I don't mean to sound derogatory here, but we had a totally economically inept administration, or an administration that would have welcomed the downturn in the economy for whatever ideological reason they would have welcomed that. We don't have that now. Now we have a group of advisors that understand downturns and what's going to be necessary to turn the economy around to get us out of a recession a little bit easier. I would question that we might not have a Congress like that that would go along with it, and that's another problem. So, look, we're always going to have ebbs and flows. And the reason I pointed out, well, 1990s, 1970s, 2004, 2013, and so on and so forth, when we had these record numbers going up as household incomes and so on and so forth, remember, we put in a new bottom. Every day, the 20%, seems not so bad. If we drop 20%, we're still going to be at a better level than we were a year ago.
That makes a good point. We're winding down here. Let's make something very practical. If somebody's listening right now and they have 25, 50, 75,000, they're not in the big investment type, where should they go if they have the ability to take and direct things right now? Can you do anything that's in a broad sense? I mean, what about dividend growth fund type investments as an example, where it's tied to cash flows of companies? What about that as an example?
So if I had money, new money to put in the markets, I'm not in the market, I got $75,000, I want to start investing in the market, I probably wouldn't do it now, frankly, in anything. But if I was already in, I would be looking at taking some profits off the table, and I'd be looking at getting into something conservative. Preferred stocks, utility stocks, maybe some real estate investment trust. I'd be looking at those things. Of course, I only look at those things from a biblical perspective. So I'm not investing broadly in those things because they've got to be biblically responsible companies. But I think there is some room to get in. You know, I wouldn't go into the bond market necessarily unless it's a short-term bond market. And if you do that, you're not going to be earning much more than you would in a bank CD. So why take the risk of a bond market going to a CD? But I think that there is dust continuing to be stirred in the markets, and particularly in the geopolitical events of the world and here in Washington. So if I was not in the market now, if I didn't have any money in the market, would I be even entering in little by little every month? I don't think I would be. I think I'd say, look, I've been out this long. I've already missed the run-up. At this point, let's see some dust settle and then get a better picture of where
Dan,
we might go.
Dan, very, very practical. We covered a lot of ground. Thanks for being with us today. Dan Celia, he's the CEO of Financial Issues Stewardship Ministries, a good friend. He understands biblical stewardship, has his own program, Financial Issues, and a website, financialissues.org. Dan, thanks for being with us today. A lot of practical information. Appreciate it. God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us as we come back now into this last segment. We're going to be interviewing and talking with Dr. Pastor Joseph Green and why he's associated with the American Pastors Network.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we move now into our last segment, we wanted just to take a little bit more of a personal approach here in this segment. The American Pastors Network is the umbrella under which Stand in the Gap Today, this program, our weekend program, Stand in the Gap Weekend, and our minute program, Stand in a Gap Minute, together, all three, on about 1,000 stations across the United States. Very significant what God has done. Our focus, though, is pastors and encouraging pastors to stand boldly in their pulpits and to preach a biblical worldview. And God is raising up great men of God all across the country. And we're going to, from day to day, from to time as we go forward in this program, interview and talk with some of those people so you get a sense of what God is doing. And with that, I want to welcome in Pastor Joe Green. He has been a co-host on this program. He is in Pennsylvania. And Joe, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Sam. It's always a pleasure being here with you.
Well, Joe, I want people, only it's a few moments, obviously a short segment here, but I'd like for people to get to know just a little bit about Joe Green. Joe, you are a pastor. You are a earned a doctorate. You're a PhD. God has given you great abilities. Tell us just a little bit about you, your family. You married? You have children? You have grandchildren, Joe?
Yes, I'm married. I have 4 children and 1 grandchild and 1 on the way in end of July, early August. So we're anticipating one more addition to the family, Sam.
Way, blessing indeed, Joe. That's great. Well, I know your wife because I've been able to meet her and a couple of your children. They are very supportive of you in the ministry. But, Joe, there are people listening who maybe they are pastors. We know many pastors who are what they call bivocational. They're having to work a separate job in addition to being pastor. You actually were in business, I believe, and then God called you to the pulpit. Talk to us a little bit how that happened and how you balance being a pastor with a congregation and whatever you still may be doing on the business side. Could you do that?
Sure, Sam. What I've seen is, our faith should be the totality of our lives. So every aspect of our life should be centered around our faith. And I've seen sometimes the church, we've kind of separated our the regular, the rest of our lives with our faith, And so I believe that as a business person and as a pastor, that I can help to shape and mold people's opinions on how whether they work or have their own business or whatever the case may be. That should all be wrapped around their faith. They should present themselves in every aspect of their life. So, and because of the type of business I'm in, I'm actually able to minister to people and to help people build up families and build up their personal lives, which is in keeping with being a pastor. And so I don't think that anybody should separate, but also include every other aspect of your life, including your Sunday mornings and your Bible study or whatever other times you spend at church.
Well, Joe, you touched on something there that we've talked a lot in this program about. You really were saying, without saying it, a biblical world view. Many people, unfortunately, believe that unless they're in the pulpit or unless they're called to be a missionary, that they're not doing God's ministry. In reality, that's not true. And that's what you just talked about right now. When you share that kind of a concept with your congregation, that they in their lives as a mom in the home, as a father, maybe as a in the plumbing business or electrician or whatever that may be, do you tell them actually that they should view their call, their job as their calling from God? Build that out just a little bit, if you would, please.
Absolutely. I believe it was St. Augustine that said, preach the gospel as often as possible and use words when necessary. And if you look at the disciples, all the disciples, we know a little bit about their other lives, whether it's Peter as a fisherman or Matthew that was a tax collector. But every part of your life, when you're, you know, your biblical worldview, as you've been born again into the family of God, your mind changes, you're transformed, and you are actually exemplifying Christ in how you address your employer or how you do business if you're dealing fairly or whatever the case may be. But it's important for us to be in the marketplace as Christians so that people can see our testimony as we walk it out. And I've had people tell me, even in my business dealings, is I can tell there's something different about you, and we trust you a little bit more because of the fact that we can see Christ in you. They might not say they see Christ in me, but they even those who aren't necessarily believers say there's something different about you. I get a different sense about dealing with you than I do with other people. And then it gives me the opportunity to share that not only am I a Christian, but I'm also a pastor and a ministry leader as well.
Joe, I think that that is an exceptional thing, and we encourage our pastors across the country to do that. Many don't do that, and I would have to say, based on what you're saying, that having your fingers and your feet in the private sector, the business part of it, that brings you into contact regularly with unsaved people, but you're also able to use that kind of thing to encourage your people to view their calling. That's superb. Joe, let me come back to you now and ask you about the American Pastors Network. Now, you pastor a church that's more of Center City, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. You're here in Pennsylvania where we have the Pennsylvania Pastors Network, but you're also associating with the American Pastors Network, which is the umbrella. But if I could ask you, Joe, what is it about what the American Pastors Network is doing, its mission, or however you would put it, that has meant something to you? Does it encourage you? If so, how? Because I want what you're saying to perhaps to be an encouragement to those perhaps who are listening that may not have heard about this.
Well, the thing I love from the first time me and you kind of connected a couple of years ago, we were working on a project, and the thing I liked about you and what you were doing with the American Pastors Network is, and I'll put it this way, I heard the term years ago, I think it's so appropriate, that the body of Christ, especially the pastors, that we're supposed to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. And so I've seen that the churches, to a certain degree, have been more concerned with reflecting modern culture and modern society than helping to shape it. And I believe that you have the vision, just like I do, that the pastors, the leaders, and those who are a part of the body of Christ, we're supposed to be very instrumental in helping to shape the culture and help to transform people that are not necessarily believers or Christians, but for them to understand that it's a biblical worldview that gives us the most success as a culture, as a community, and our founding fathers understood that. And so we're just basically connecting with the original intent of our Constitution and our nation, which was those who have the faith and trust in God and the Word of God would help to shape the morals and the values of our society in order for us to be that shining light on the hill. And again, I love the fact that, Sam, you're pushing pastors and leaders to be a voice in the community, in the culture, and that, again, I love that my favorite saying is that it's more important for us to be a thermostat instead of a thermometer that just simply reflects the culture around us.
Antioch Assembly in Harrisburg, Pastor Joe Green. Thank you, Joe. And if you don't mind, let me pray for you right now as we close out the program. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this program, for the American Pastors Network. I thank you specifically for Pastor Joe Green as he pastors Antioch Assembly in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Lord, you are using him in his ministry. We thank you for his testimony. Protect him, his wife, and his children, and as he teaches his people how to live as lights in a needy, needy world. Put your hand around him, Lord. We commit him to you, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on this Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. And as you go through the weekend and look forward to the Lord's Day, be there in God's house, worship with God's people, and until we come to you again next Monday, stand in the gap for truth where you are. You may be the only light that anyone will ever see. God bless you. Talk to you later.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.